Everybody, welcome to a Thursday Sportsline, the Bulldog Hour. Captain Horry, as always, alongside. We'll take you to three, hand it off to our good friend Phil Benatti. His outstanding show behind the bench, as always, on a Thursday at Fashion Furniture. 2 hours today, and then it is time for Week 10 of the National Football League as the Raiders head to Denver to play the white-hot Broncos, who have won six straight. We'll see how it plays out tonight. So Phil will take you to 5, and then the game will kick at 5:15. We'll have the Raider Network feed, not Westwood One tonight, as I think people know. When it's the Raiders, 49ers, or Rams, we have their broadcast. Otherwise, it is Westwood One. I'll tell you all about the schedule for the rest of the week, in addition to tonight, a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. I'll tell you about the fundraising Ed does for Fresno State when we go over the schedule a little bit later on. On a Thursday, it means our second visit of the week with our de facto co-host Jackson Moore. The main topic today will be football, because I want to go over the schedules for the teams that Fresno State will be in contest with, and they are right now, though the Bulldogs aren't playing this weekend, for that number two seed in the Mountain West. I think most people realize, barring an absolute collapse, that's not likely to happen, San Diego State is going to be the one seed, and the conference championship game will be down at Snapdragon. We'll talk about exactly what the Bulldogs would like to see happening in the other games this weekend, and of course when Fresno State is playing again next week, a little bit later with Jackson. But first, before we get there, and we will touch upon basketball as well. Of course, last night, a very disappointing night. First, our other lead dogs, as always, want to spend some time with you. Let's start with the weather. Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, 825-5337, 825-Lee's, or leesair.com on the web. Again, remind you, they also sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. That's how Jackson will arrive on air. And Phil not only has his guests through that line, but calls to the general public or from the general public are there for Phil. You guys can call him 559-320-1430. Again, Lee's has been in the Central Valley since 1981. Terrific local people. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I'm out of been to do work even during COVID. Really professional people, very competitive pricing, and very timely. So if you need it all, anything, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, Roofing, give them a call or locate them on the web. As far as the weather goes, fog this morning, of course, in the areas, particularly north where we had the rain yesterday, where it wasn't quite as heavy, the fog not quite as bad today. Still got to watch out. We are not in heavy fog land yet until we get into the 40s at night, but it's still, particularly in the outlying areas, a problem. And anytime you're coming off of rain, be careful. Looking at today is a really nice day. One more time, it's been a real nice October and start of November. 72 today, 71 tomorrow, and then 73 and 78 over the weekend, a 79 on Monday. Veterans Day looks to be 77. Again, these lows are in the mid-50s, 73 on Wednesday. And then next Thursday, a week from today, we get our first real shot in November of substantial rain in the Fresno area. We'll see how that plays out. And the weather for next week, we'll see it from Thursday, Friday, and Saturday get down into the 60s. But right now we're in the 70s, sometimes close to 80. So it's a really nice creature comfort forecast. Obviously, we could use more rain and more snow in the upper reaches. But for the moment, enjoy it out there. And I hope very much that everything was fine yesterday. Some parts, particularly in the North Valley, got a lot of rain. Oh, the Bay Area did. Here in town, not so much. Anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-Lee's for anything you need. Other reminders. Want to remind you again about our good friends at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, part of the solution to funding athletics up and down the valley. We appreciate everything they do. This, of course, is a great international, national, and local company. And right now, the specials that are going on, hey, from October to early November, it's still there for you. the throwback to the late 90s, which is the classic honey barbecue flavor on everything at KFC, chicken sandwiches, tenders, and, of course, those crispy golden pieces you know and love. We're talking about 2-, 3-, and 4-piece meals with the chicken sandwiches, just $3.99 right now. That's a terrific deal. The long-running Tuesday special is still there, which is $10 for the 8-piece bucket or tenders. And the Wednesday deal, the country fried steak for just $5.99. It's all there at KFC and everything right now with the original honey barbecue sauce, which makes it sweet, savory, and back big time for this particular time of the year. How long it's going to last, that's up to the powers that be at KFC. Make sure you jump on it right now in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, and we thank them every day for their sponsorship. And then finally, speaking of thanking somebody, our longtime friend and sponsor, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Thanks always go out to he and his great business for what they do for Fresno State. Remind you again, pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, it's all there under one roof. 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or more information on the web at superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email. That is gabe.sbs@gmail.com. If you're working at a plant, if you're a maintenance person, tanker delivery service, working around a boiler, anybody who relies upon a valve for their financial well-being, if one goes down, your business can go down financially in a big hurry. What Joe can do for you, if you stop in and see him or give him a call, you can stop in at 4529 North Bardi Avenue in Town Suite 103, or give him a call at 266-7473, again, 266-PIPE. Tell him what your issues are. He'll analyze it, give you a same-day solution, same-day estimate, and get started right away. If you're just taking a small hit, he'll make sure you stay seamlessly up and running. If it's already become catastrophic, he'll get you back up and running in a big hurry. And as we mention every day, after you're done addressing everything with Joe about your business, if you have a few minutes, he will ask you to hang with him for a while, and he'll tell you what he does for Fresno State in regard to fundraising, which is really important. And right now, the best avenue is to go to GoBulldogs.com. That's the main website for Fresno State. The information for everything is there for virtually everything the university does athletically. But also at the top, you'll find the donate link, and it'll take you to different areas of donation. The BDF is there celebrating its 75th anniversary, so information is there to be part of the sponsorship givers for scholarship. That's what the BDF does. You have Club Red underneath that header as well, under major giving societies, the Green V Society, the Myers Champion Circle are there. And then there are ways to give. The delineation methods of support tells you how you can donate. And then the Valley Co-op, which is very new but very important to try to drive things forward in the Valley. And then finally, as we mention every day, the sports clubs are there. That way your money goes directly to a given sport. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick with me every Wednesday to talk basketball. He's on the board of directors of the timeout club. And he has said, you know what, they'd love to have not any more members, but younger members. He said, give him a call directly if you'd like on his cell, 559-287-3305, or FurtickJack@AOL.com for more information. Also, links for other men's and women's sports are there as well. For instance, Dugout Club for baseball. So check all that out under Ways to Give under Sports Clubs. And then there is the link that has more information. You can just click on that. It'll tell you about tickets and parking for all events on campus and other things. And then finally, the critically important NIL monies. Check in with Fresno State. It's all under the aegis of the university now. We had BulldogBread.com, of course. And what you can do is tell them what you'd like to do, either sponsorship-wise, or maybe you have a business that wants to be associated. And so you're talking about maybe a commercial you might want to put on, or it just might be a donation. Contact Fresno State. Everything you can do will help the university, that's for sure, as they try to keep up with the Joneses, not only in this final year of the Mountain West for Fresno State, but, of course, going forward into the Pac next year. And right now it's the Pac-8, but at least in football it is. It's more than that, of course, for basketball and baseball coming up next year. But we're going to see this conference grow back to the Pac-12 in, I think, a fairly big hurry as we roll through the end of this decade. So anything you can do to help Fresno State, they'd appreciate it. Anyway, thanks to Joe Cruz, everybody, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, for allowing us time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. Tell you about the schedule a little bit later on. Thanks to the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And thanks go out to everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And one more time, the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. That is how Sir Jackson Moore, our de facto co-host, the King of the Bark Board, is ready to wow you with everything just because he's on that hotline. That's the, otherwise, he doesn't talk to me. He has to be on the hotline. If I try to call him, he said, no. I'll call you on the hotline when I feel like it. Here he is, Jackson Moore. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
Oh, I'm just great, Jackson. You know, nothing better than last night. What a delight last night was in so many ways. First of all, to William, let me go back to last night. You would think Fresno State would be the biggest of my problems after last night, wouldn't you, Paisan? Seriously. Okay. No. William emailed yesterday and was lamenting the fact that he had tickets to the Warriors and the Kings because he can't afford to go to Chase Center. So he said, I'm going to Golden One, and I find out that Butler is out, Curry is out, Green is out, and then Sabonis and Zach LaVine out for the Kings. I said, go anyway, and he said, I should have stayed home and watched it on TV. Okay, you know what? That probably is what you should have done, William. My fault. It's on me. And I would say this, Jackson, for those that decided to stay home to watch the Bulldogs on the Internet, probably better time spent than what happened last night at SMC. And look, all kidding aside about this, because it isn't funny, when we talk about what happened with Boise State and Hawaii Pacific, and I think you're going to see, incidentally, more and more of this kind of stuff at the start of the year with NIL, where you have teams that are of quote-unquote lesser conferences or FCS, or whatever you want to call the designation, that keep guys together because NIL isn't quite as tempting. Those schools at the start of the year might give a better club a bad time simply because the other club has a lot of new faces because of NIL. It's not an excuse for losing games. I'm saying somebody you might beat by 70 later in the year might beat you at the start of the year. Everybody has to deal with that, okay? That was not, however, the sole cause of problems last night, but it is the reason you've seen the UNLVs or the Boise States lose unexpectedly. The difference, Jackson, is what happened with Boise. They have the credibility of having success, and so while their fan base might be bent out of shape about losing the Hawaii Pacific, it's considered an aberration. The problem for Fresno State about last night, independent of where this is headed, because I've told you I'm viewing last year and this year as a single approximate 60-game lump, if you will, of basketball, and at the end of the 60 games, the evaluation will be made by the only two guys that count in this, and that would be Saul and Garrett, okay? Because we know how the contract is structured for Vance. After 2 years, it's very easy to jettison the whole thing and start again. We know that Garrett wasn't here when the call was made for Vance, and we know, of course, Saul was the primary for Vance to have the job. That dynamic is between those two gentlemen and what happens on the court and Vance and all of that. I've said this, I will not defend the program, nor will I excoriate it. I'm just going to sit back, watch it, and evaluate. As I mentioned to you, I was not pleased that Zion Collins came back for two reasons. One, I felt even though it was something now that's okay by the NCAA standards, betting on professional sport, it was careless when the university had taken a chance with him to begin with. I also didn't appreciate the fact that he was shopping himself around for this year when I really thought he should have been loyal to the school that gave him an opportunity that most wouldn't. So I've had issues already about some of the things that have gone on. But I'm not someone who's taking a shot at the program, nor am I going to stand up and say everything's going to be fine. I'm going to wait and see what happens. Other people have their criteria. They can go ahead and impose that any way they'd like. What is undeniable to me, Jackson, is that as opposed to Boise State losing to Hawaii Pacific, when you are desperately trying to build something, and we know how hard Vance is trying to build something right now, you don't kick $1 million of your family money in if you don't intend to make this work. it takes a tremendous hit with a fan base that's already at least an arm's length back, at least. Is that, in your opinion, also the major issue about last night, what it does to a fan base that's not exactly lined up and ready to go? And also, does it then put a tremendous burden on winning Saturday afternoon against Long Beach State? What say you about all of this, my friend?
Yeah, I think it's especially within the context of opening with seven consecutive home games. It looked like a lot of those teams had names and logos that you would expect Fresno State to be able to put up wins against. And, you know, if you can lose to South Carolina Upstate, you can lose to any of those other teams, I would say, after watching what happened last night. I think it puts a bit of a damper on what could have been maybe a chance to get momentum rolling. Fresno State's basketball program has not even been 2-0 or 3-0 or 4-0 for quite a few years. So if they could have just rattled off a few wins against some teams that should have been able to beat, it might have got a little bit of positivity going and maybe get you a nice crowd for UC San Diego, a 31 team last year that come the next week. But I imagine a lot of folks, unless they just want to go to have a good time, they're going to strictly based off how the team's performing, they're going to write them off after this loss. So they've got some work to do now. And I'm not writing this team off as a team based off of yesterday's loss because I've seen a lot of good things over about 75% of the season so far through two games. They played excellent, as good as you could against a Division II program in Fresno Pacific. Everything looked very solid, and they played a good first half in this game. They were, despite the names of the two programs, the Bulldogs were favored by 9, which isn't an overwhelming amount, and they went into halftime up 11. I thought they were playing pretty darn good basketball and football. They felt like they could have been up 17, 20 points at halftime if they had converted a little bit better. I think I saw a team that got cold in the second half, maybe took their foot off the accelerator. And I think to your point about roster continuity, I saw a team that a bunch of guys that I don't think expected to be in that position last night. Zion Collins got hurt down the last couple of minutes and came off the court. And you've got guys like DJ Stickman and Jack Manny, and maybe not criticizing those guys by any means, but yeah, there wasn't really some veterans or hot hands out there. Really the only guy you had to rely on when the team needed buckets was Jake Heidbreder, and unfortunately he missed the two that they needed the most at the end. So I think they've got about 10, 11 deep, especially when DJ Douglas comes back, will be 12 or so. And I think once they settle in on a nice core, they should be able to do things that the team wasn't able to last night. No excuse to losing to a program like that, but I also do think this team's going to be quite a bit better as they move forward.
Well, I'll tell you what, there are zero excuses for the loss last night, and I would not accept anybody saying that, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. No, they period, gave away a game they should have won, and that's not anything to do with Douglas being out or whatever, Zulame or whatever. This team should have been vastly superior. They did not win the game. What you brought up, Jackson, maybe the most cogent point, most of the time when you get in trouble in this kind of game, you're not ready to play the game. They were ready to play or they wouldn't have been up 11. They played a horrific second half. They lost. They deserved to lose. Now it does put the burden on Saturday. And I will ask you, you have a 2 o'clock in the afternoon game on Saturday against Long Beach State. You played a bizarre game down in Long Beach last year, okay? One of the strangest games I've ever seen, period, all right? I think they're still fouling in that game. I'm not sure, all right? But you have the ease with which people can watch the game, and this is an issue. You know, when Boyd Grant was rebuilding everything in the 70s from the ashes of the earlier time in the 70s, if you wanted to see the Bulldogs, you were going to have to go down to Selma and watch them, okay? And as they started to win, you had 6,600 seats and far greater demand. Right now, you can keep up with this team without spending a penny just by watching them on your computer or on the internet. You know, get a Roku for $50 or a Roku stick for $19, and you can watch the games on the Mountain West Network or, like I said, on MyTV 53 or however you want to watch them. So you can keep up with them without going down there. Now, in order to get people to come down there, they're going to have to see something now at home, if they're watching, that compels them to come down. you're still trying to figure things out, and obviously nobody is pleased about what happened last night. The burden about Saturday, Jackson, is it an undue burden or a fair one that people are going to be looking to see if the cracks in the foundation are wide, wide chasms or just a temporary problem? How much more do you have to play to a level than you would have otherwise this Saturday because of what happened last night? I mean, don't you find that burden that you've got to come out and show the community you're trying to draw their interest? If they're nice enough to at least check you out on the net, if they're not coming down, to show them that that was an aberration, is it on them, and is it fair that it's on them that way? They brought it on themselves, but I mean, as far as the overall scope or where you're at with the program.
I believe so. I'm not sure how much the team is going to be thinking about that as Saturday comes and goes, but it's the reality of the situation. You look at, again, the schedule, they're at home 8 times in November. One of those games is at Selland, and that should be a draw. Otherwise, most of these games are weekdays at 6 p.m. Tip-offs, and as we saw yesterday, there's any indication there's not a lot of folks that are interested in going to these games at that time on weekdays. It was a very, very light crowd. It was announced at 2,700, but it looked probably triple digits, less than 1,000. I think it's a fair estimate of how many people were actually there. So this one's a Saturday afternoon. The other Saturday game on the schedule is the same day as a football game, which may help, may hurt. It'll be a long day if fans try to make it to both. But this is the one where it's a Saturday, it's the afternoon, it's center stage for fans to come out and watch. And it's going to leave a taste that these other games probably won't, but they won't draw as much. So also, I think for this team in general, Mountain West, we all know, is a very difficult conference to play in and get victories into this program, whereas the month of November is that what should be a much more manageable schedule. And if you lose the USC Upstate and Long Beach State, all of a sudden your potential wins are dwindling quickly, because there's a schedule out there that could get them to 6 wins, maybe even before conference play, and get that off of their back a little bit. But not if they keep dropping games against teams like this, it won't happen.
Well, look, the 6 o'clock start is an addendum to everything right now, and I don't want to make it a major issue, but I will tell you this. From what I understand, that happened because they took a survey of people that came out, and they said they prefer 6 over 7. Jackson, when we're talking about football, when you might have a 3.5 or even 4-hour game, I understand the earlier start's advantageous. We've talked about this over and over again in football. In September, you have to play, unless the network's getting your way, 7 o'clock or 7:30 because it's hot. Once you get to October, ideally somewhere in the 4 o'clock hour is where you would like to start. In basketball, they saw greater attendance the last few years with 4 o'clock starts on the weekend. But in particular, when you're talking about a 2-hour proposition, a 6 o'clock start, which presses up against dinner hour or people trying to get from work to home and then get there, it makes it, in my opinion, too easy for people to say, you know what, even though I intended to go, by the time I finish eating, I'm just going to watch it on the net. It's easily accessible. A 2-hour game starting at 7 o'clock makes perfect sense to me. That's their choice to play at 6. I believe it's too early, but again, that's a nuance in an issue-filled situation that has more to do with on the court than what time you're starting. But it doesn't help, in my opinion, to start at 6 o'clock. I think 7 will be a lot better unless you have a network mandate. That is a sidebar. Last question for you about this. This basketball team, you talk about being maybe somewhat insulated from what the fan base is thinking, the team itself. But if you're on that coaching staff, how aware are you of public perception right now, Jackson? I mean, I know you have to be immersed in the X's and O's and whatever, but you can't be blind to what's happening with the public perception, right? When you look around, no matter what time you start and you don't see much of a crowd, you have to realize the burden that you've got to get this thing straight away figured out, right?
Absolutely. And I'm sure there's, on one hand, you're a coach, you're on that staff, you're evaluating your team, you see a team that performed well for a half and let one get away, didn't shoot well from 3-point range, was only a make or two from probably ceiling that game. if they don't go 3-for-15 in the second half. You know, a lot of fixable things, but the final score against that opponent, that's a gut punch, and it's a really bad look. And so there's a little bit of balance there. You know, it's a work in progress as a team on that side of things. I don't think they're running sprints all day long today just because they lost to USC Upstate, but I think that's kind of the feeling of from the outside, the fan base seeing the team lose to USC Upstate. That's just it doesn't get much lower, unfortunately. At least they beat Fresno Pacific. I guess that would have been a little bit lower, but even last year's 6-26 record, unless you look at Cal Baptist, it wasn't really a team that really was a it's kind of a disgraceful type of loss as far as just face value. So, there's some work to do here the next couple of weeks to try to prove that that was an anomaly and not the norm.
Well, we referenced last year's game. If people have forgotten that game at Pyramid at Long Beach, the Bulldogs were down 11 with just 2.5 to go and came back to win 72-69. And I would say, Jackson, that was the highlight of last year. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, looking back, I mean, that was quite a thrilling finish, and there were only a few wins. I mean, that was the most exciting of them. But looking back at that box score, I think both teams only have one player back. I guess that's just college basketball these days. So the coaches will have that in the back of their mind, but a lot of these players are still, I think, getting used to even the colors they're wearing right now.
Well, you're right. I mean, Aguilar, Robinson, and DJ was the only one who's still on the team. They were the leading scorers as the Bulldogs came back to win that game with a 44-point second half and most of it in the last couple of minutes. So I don't know whether there are people around the Long Beach State staff that are irritated about it, but it was a very, very strange basketball game that turned out to work out for Fresno State. Again, 2 o'clock Saturday at SMC. All right, we will put that on the back burner. Of course, basketball will be very much part of everything we do going forward, not only the Wednesdays with Fertig, but Matt Norville will be back with me when football wraps up, and Jackson, of course, with me twice a week all the time. I want to turn my attention and your attention as well, Jackson, right now to football. You know, it's strange that a game in Hawaii that appears to be so important on the surface may not now be a great decider, but let's talk about it in this regard. Fresno State is sitting in a position, as we mentioned, that I think logic would say football-wise, if you run the table and win your last three. So you're looking at home games against Wyoming and Utah State, and then what appears to be the linchpin game at San Jose on the 29th of the month. If you win them, you are very likely going to be at Snapdragon playing San Diego State. Let's start with this weekend coming up. You have got Air Force in San Jose State, and you've got San Diego State going to Hawaii. Isn't the San Jose State game maybe more important in the overall scope of things if you assume you have to sweep the rest of the way? Jackson, you want to make sure, right, that you've got yourself in a position that if you beat San Jose State at the end, you're fine. So where are you looking scoreboard-wise more? Do you really care whether Hawaii or San Diego State wins, given the fact the Aztecs are already in a position where you can't really catch them regardless unless they fall completely apart?
Yeah, it's almost easier of a path if San Diego State just wins out and takes care of that number one spot. You can work your way into the number two. Yeah, somehow, if they were to lose to Hawaii, if the Rainbow Warriors have a really good run defense and the Aztecs are going to try and run it, and then if somehow the Aztecs fell to Boise State or San Jose State, all of a sudden they're in that two-game logjam, and that actually hurts your tiebreakers a little bit, having them mixed in with the two losses. So it will just be a little easier probably if they win out, give Boise State their second loss, bump Hawaii out of there as well. And Fresno State, of course, they beat Utah State and San Jose State, really the only other teams that can be tied are New Mexico and UNLV. And that Boise State win should be the thing that decides between the three of them, since they would have all played Boise State. Likely get the Bulldogs in there. So it gets complicated, but Fresno State's got a pretty viable path if just kind of the chalk plays out in the other games.
Well, there's no doubt if there's...
If you could, if the Spartans will quit before the end of the season, I think that's just what you're crossing your fingers a little bit, because they are 3-5 overall. If they lose once or twice here, they'll be out of bowl eligibility before that last game. At the same time, the Spartans, all five of their losses are by single digits, I believe. They could be a much better team, but it's still hard to keep that team together if you don't have much to play for by the final week.
Well, there's no question, and you are correct, there's no question that there's a singular game remaining the rest of the way. And again, we're going under the supposition that Fresno State, let's try it this way, that Fresno State is going to win their next two. If they don't win their next two at home, which would be Wyoming and Utah State, whether there might be a mathematical chance, I think realistically, we talk about three losses getting you in, that's an awful big ask right now. And that's where, one more time, that Colorado State loss sits there. The San Diego State loss, the Aztecs are the best team right now in the conference. The Colorado State loss is the one that mathematically could really kick you in the rear end. Nothing you can do about it now. But if there is a singular game in the next couple of weeks that there has to be cooperation, it's got to be San Diego State beating Boise State at Snapdragon. Because otherwise, if Boise State were to win that game, and I don't think they can given their offensive woes right now, but if for some reason the Broncos go there and win in San Diego, all Boise State has left is Colorado State and at Utah State. Now, having Colorado State at home, I can't imagine that Boise State is going to lose that game. They could lose at Utah State, but I wouldn't count on it, which, Jackson, comes back to the thing we've talked about. There is nothing more galling when you get into these tie-break-heavy races that you have the tie-break over somebody, but because you stubbed your toe somewhere else along the way to a lesser opponent, in this case Colorado State, you find yourself with the tiebreaker, and you also find yourself one loss more than the other team, so the tiebreaker doesn't matter. That's the one, right? You just cannot have Boise State run the table, or you can't get in, correct?
Right. And that's so the way that they looked without their quarterback and then played against San Diego State's defense, it feels like, again, the Aztecs can take care of business there and help the Bulldogs out, and then it'll take care of itself. But the Fresno State will certainly be sweating it out if the Broncos find a way to win that one. I think the other part of it is there's so many teams in this jumble that you may not get a clean tiebreaker. You may have to go to the computer polls, and they don't like Fresno State very much relative to some of the other teams in the conference. So you want to make sure you see some of these teams drop out and that you do get a chance to whether it's head-to-head against the Boise State or common opponents, Colorado State's going to be down there a ways at least, so there may be a chance for the Bulldogs to cash in on that Bronco victory against someone else. But, it gets tricky at this stage, and all you can do is try to win out and hope for the best.
Well, when you look at two lost teams, and I want to ignore the three-loss scenario right now. I know, as we talked the other day, there's a possibility. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, San Diego State is going to end up winning this conference. Then what you see, you have a one-loss Boise State team, and then what you're referring to, this logjam with two losses, Fresno State, Hawaii, New Mexico, who has played well, Utah State, UNLV, San Jose State, everybody with two losses. And this is why, as we were talking, if you end up in that you played them, but they played somebody else that you didn't play, whatever, what it could come down to, if you can't get to just head-to-head with somebody you've beaten, it might be your quality win over Boise State supersedes everybody else, which is why one of the strangest scenarios is the one that says, for the benefit of Fresno State, you want Boise State to lose, but you only want them to lose once, right, Jackson? You don't want them losing a bunch of games that diminishes that victory. Otherwise, somebody else has the quality win. It is an absolute mess right now, so we're back to just win, baby, right? You better win three straight and hope it gets you in. I can't imagine losing one of these three and you're going to get there. I know you can mathematically, but you tell me, you really believe the Bulldogs can get in with three losses without an incredible amount of good fortune?
Yeah, I could see them being tied for second with three losses, but probably not breaking out of that tiebreaker scenario. It's likely if they lose one of these next three, that's going to doom them, especially whether it goes to the coaches' poll or not. I don't just see how many ways that they're going to be able to pull that off. So on the other side, if they win out, it seems rather favorable. Again, as long as the teams that are likely to lose, favored to lose down the stretch, lose those games, it doesn't mean that's going to happen that way, as we've learned in quite a few of these games the last couple of weeks. But it lines up very well for Fresno State, tiebreaker-wise, that the one team that you lost to outside of San Diego State's at the bottom, you're not going to run into them, and you're going to have to go through quite a few quality win scenarios to get down to Colorado State. A lot of these teams in this jumbo have lost or may lose to Boise State by the time it's over, so it sets up pretty nicely, but it's going to be tough to win these next three also, and that's the key, obviously. If they're 5-3 at the end of conference play, it's not a bad showing, but it's probably not going to get it done.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I think 6-2 will get it done, but 5-3 won't. Now, Carlos had emailed in and said, you know what, I don't like the idea of Fresno State playing the final game of the year at San Jose State with it all on the line. It has a rather familiar and unfortunate ring to it. Carlos, you're talking about 2013, but look, as far as the Bulldog hopes at that point to be in contest for one of the then New Year's Six Bowls, yeah, that loss at San Jose State was catastrophic. You scored 52 points and you lost 62-52. We've talked about it about as often as I've talked about Roger Craig fumbling away the three peat for the 49ers, which was a scant 35 years ago, and you know how well I've handled that, right? But the bottom line is, Jackson, well, that took the Bulldogs out of that New Year's Six Bowl in 2013. You got to remember, the Bulldogs did win the conference. They did beat Utah State the following week, so they had already gotten in. That was their undefeated season. If this takes place, Jackson, where Fresno State and San Jose State are meeting for something at stake, it will be just to get in the conference title game. If it comes down to that, if all of this shakes out where that game on the 29th decides the two seed, do you like Fresno State's chances at San Jose State against a team that doesn't play great defense but can certainly score? Is this a game you would figure Fresno State to win with loser leaves the playground implications?
You know, I can see that game and maybe even Utah State. They just both feel like games that are going to go one of two ways. Either Fresno State's going to establish themselves early in the trenches and control the pace and tempo and win the way that they have in most of these games, or those other two teams are going to be able to jump on the Bulldogs with their early touchdown or two, and it's going to get dicey from there. We know San Jose State can pour it on. They had just even a Hawaii defense that's pretty darn good. I mean, they poured it on the Rainbow Warriors last weekend, and even if you hold them to 27 points, you're counting on your own offense at Fresno State to score that much. That hopefully the Bulldogs figure things out in the passing game by then. It's a few weeks down the road, but I think those two games make me a bit nervous. Fresno State plays their A game. I think they can beat both of those teams, but you could also see them having to throw the game plan out the window early, which didn't go well at Colorado State, didn't go great against San Diego State or Kansas.
Well, the one positive is this defense, except for a couple of instances, has played very solid. And as we discussed, even though it was an embarrassing, frustrating game against San Diego State, being shut out for the first time ever at Bulldog Stadium and the first time at home since 1980. It was a two-possession game, 16-0, going to the fourth quarter, and that's because of the defense, and certainly at Boise State, the defense won that football game for an offense that didn't exactly light it up, though you got the 30 points with short fields and other things. With that as a backdrop, Jackson, do you anticipate the defense being now as advertised the rest of the way? Is your level of confidence there that the flat spot the defense had for a while, that's long since now done? It's in the rear view, and that's all there is to it?
I do think so, but I also do believe San Jose State, to a slightly lesser extent, Utah State are just really good offenses. If you could play a really good game and on defense and still give up a decent amount of points to those two teams and need more from your offense than they've had at certain times this season. So I'm really impressed by the defense outside of about 30 minutes of Colorado State. over the course of conference play, but those might be the two toughest tasks for the defense, those last two. So we'll see how things collide when they match up.
As I mentioned to you a few weeks ago, Hawaii, and I think this week as well, Hawaii must be kicking itself about having that Fresno State game get away, because had the Rainbow Warriors made that two-point conversion and then won the game, everything would be on its head. But they were at just one loss before that fourth quarter at San Jose State, so they sort of have themselves to blame. It'd be an interesting weekend. I'm looking forward to seeing the San Diego State game. I don't think Air Force is going to give San Jose State much trouble, but I am very intrigued to see what happens with San Diego State going to the islands, and concerned, in all honesty, Jackson, about the fact that they have to come back from the islands to play Boise State. The bye week for San Diego State was this last weekend. I think it would have been better served to have the bye week now after the Hawaii game, but that's not the case. And do you worry at all about the Aztecs coming back with island fever here, no matter what happens on the 8th, for that game on the 15th, which means far more to Fresno State than maybe it does to San Diego State?
I think as long as Maddox Mattson's not playing and San Diego State's got that defense, I like their chances against the Broncos, even coming back from the islands. And you mentioned as much good stuff as I have to say about the Spartans, they've found interesting ways to lose games as well.
Right.
Usually a team that gives them trouble with that triple option offense. So it could be another nail biter for them. So there's just a lot of parity, and that's probably the biggest point here with Fresno State in these last three games. Even if you feel like you're slight favorites, the parity, the inconsistency in this conference is very difficult, even to win what would be four in a row for the Bulldogs coming off of Boise. And so we'll see if they can pull it off or not.
Well, I'll tell you, two at home, and those two I think should be W's, and it comes down to San Jose State. But, you know, they're going to have to beat, have to win for four quarters against Wyoming and Utah State. They're actually going to play the game, so as much as I want to go right past it, I don't think that Matt has much to hear that. Last thing for you, the 7:30 starts for both of the two home games. You like that? A little late for you? What about it, crowd-wise, I'm talking about?
Yeah, it would. I feel like it's nice in November when they get a 4 p.m. kickoff. A little earlier, get some sunlight. You're not out so late, especially if it gets a little cold. But I think the consensus is that 7:30 is better than 12:30. So at least the Bulldogs can be back out there at night and have a little more probably environment for these last two games than they did against San Diego State. It just felt a little bit strange.
It's also good that you have the sprint turf, the field turf, because it figures to rain pretty substantially next Thursday into Friday, but clear up by the weekend. So it might be a little cold and a little damp, but at least the field itself should be very playable, which is something I couldn't say for a number of years at Bulldog Stadium when it would rain this time of the year. All right. The quagmire would be there, that's for sure. Jackson, I appreciate it. Anything going on the board beyond the 30% and all that stuff, or yet?
Yeah, currently 30% off for the year, and also just $1 to try for your first month. So I hope people take advantage and get in. We're less than a month away from signing day, so the final stretch of the football season here will coincide with the ramp up to the big recruiting day.
I look forward to all of that, and I look forward to our visit on Tuesday, and I assume you'll be at SMC threading your heart away on Saturday at 2 o'clock, right?
I will, and hopefully a better result this time than last night.
Well, hopefully it won't be you and some of your closest friends. I hope everybody else is going to show after last night. Jackson, appreciate it, my friend. Talk to you next week. Take care.
All right, you too, Tony. Thank you.
All right, the Pactico host, Jackson Moore, parkboard.com. We'll take a break, come back, tell you about the schedule, hand it off to Phil. He is, as always, on a Thursday at Fashion Furniture with our good buddy Rod Avedikian. Get to all of that after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Thursday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Three, 4 minutes ago on the show, hand it off to Phil, as always, on a Thursday at Fashion Furniture with Rod Avedikian and company. Best furniture you're going to find anywhere, nothing like it in all of California. The great conversation of Phil's show, some good eats as well. El Paso across from River Park. Again, you can give Phil a call on the Lease Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. I'll tell you all about the schedule for not only today, but for the weekend in just a moment. But first, I want to remind you about our friends at KFC one more time, the local operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. right now, the throwback to the late 90s is front and center. That means the classic honey barbecue flavor on everything, chicken sandwiches, tenders, and, of course, those crispy golden pieces you know and love, 2-, 3-, and 4-piece meals. Also, you have the Tuesday deal, which is the $10 8-piece bucket or tenders, the Wednesday country fried steak for $5.99, the chicken sandwiches are just $3.99 right now. So stop on in those KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, as always at KFC. It's finger looking good and sweet and savory right now with the honey barbecue flavoring on everything. And we thank them each and every day for their sponsorship. Speaking of thanking somebody, thanks to Ed Dunkel, everybody at Precision Civil Engineering, for allowing me the time to tell you about the schedule. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, it's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. Ed does a lot to benefit the Lyles College of Engineering. He's a proud graduate of the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State. And again, a lot of those grads go right to work at Precision Civil Engineering, where the goal of their fundraising is to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked out beautifully, and we commend Ed for everything he does for his alma mater and for the Valley as a whole. As far as the lineup goes, Raiders and the Broncos will kick off week 10 of the NFL season starting tonight. Normally, it's the Westwood One broadcast on Thursday. We have the national games Thursday, Sunday, and Monday, of course. And by the way, great matchups this week because you have the Steelers, and I'm sure their fans are going to take over SoFi, the Steelers and the Chargers from Westwood One on Sunday night, and then major wager Monday for us at Me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota Granite Park, with Carter and the gang out there, big screen TVs, great food at Me and Ed's Victory Grill, and always great atmosphere. It is the Packers and the Eagles. It might be an NFC title game precursor, and that's very important this coming Monday, so stay tuned for that one as well. It's also on ESPN and ABC. So those are the national games. This will be the Raider broadcast tonight, and then national broadcast for the Charger game and for Major Wager Monday with the Packers and the Eagles. And, of course, for us, the feature game over the weekend, 49ers and the Rams will have both the 49er and Ram feeds, the 49ers for that afternoon kick on 1430, the Ram feed on 790. Critically important game. The Rams really let one get away. My beloved 49ers were very lucky to win down at SoFi on that Thursday night a few weeks ago. And the 49ers were also lucky to win at Seattle at the start of the year. And the Seahawks looked to be maybe the best team in the division, really loading up before the trading deadline. So the NFC West is going to be a real traffic jam the rest of the way. So stay tuned for that. And over the weekend, we'll certainly be looking closely at those matchups, particularly the 49er-Ram game. That could give the 49ers a tiebreaker over the Rams if they win it. Also, the Sharks are back in action tomorrow. The same with the Lakers later in the week. Both of those teams with us, of course, throughout the rest of the year. And then the final reminders here about the daily shows. Phil, normally 3 to 6 with his fine show Behind the Bench, including today at Fashion Furniture, will be there from 3 to 5 before we send it off to the Raiders and the Broncos. And again, you can reach Phil on the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. Stop by El Paso across from River Park. Check out everything at Fashion Furniture. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number 1 at att.net. First names are fine. For the station, 1430 ESPNFresno.com, the live links and podcasts are there. Get the app, makes it a lot easier to listen. And then also Paul Meadows with his two great shows, Sunbird Sports Show on 790, our sister station, The Deuce, 6 to 7 on Wednesday evenings, and the long-running show live from First Ring Sports on Saturday morning. That's Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon. Also, Paul and Phil will be out in the South Valley at Dinuba for the Emperors and the Vikings. That's a great matchup. Kingsburg and Dinuba as we start the playoffs. That's the Friday Night Lights offering coming up tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. Phil will tell you more about it. Thanks again to everybody, sponsorship-wise, the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, and Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. thanks to Jorge, and thanks, of course, to Jackson Moore. Phil is coming up in a couple of minutes from Fashion Furniture. Then the Raiders and the Broncos. We'll see you guys tomorrow with Brian Panish talking more football on KFIG Fresno.